Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are in Lakeland, Florida today. Bubble Boy is with me. How you doing there, buddy?
Doing pretty good, Greg.
All right, so this is a very unique thing in the 20-year history of Scuba Radio. I am literally in a hospital in Lakeland, or a clinic, the Watson Clinic, which is the home of Dr. Doug. And he has actually got his friend, his buddy, his man in charge here, Scott, hooking me up to a heart monitor. And we're going to literally do a stress test live on Scuba Radio today and find out if indeed I can continue on with the show. You hear what I'm saying, Scott?
I hear you.
Yeah, so it's either a pass or fail type of approach we're taking with the show today, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
You got odds on this? What are the Vegas?
I have no odds on that. I'll leave Dr. Ebersol with the odds.
Okay. He's just the guy hooking me up with all these wires and stuff. It looks impressive. I look like Frankenstein kind of thing right there, Bubble Boy.
Yeah, Greg, but I don't see why you had to completely strip down for this test.
Well, I did that for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's I'm that giving kind of guy and willing to do what it takes. So basically, we're going to go through this process on the show today and show you that it's not that big of a deal. I mean, a lot of people, you do this how many times a day, you figure, Scott? Quite a few.
20 or 25.
Yeah. Really? Okay. And I'm the last one of the day, so you're ready to get the hell out of here and let's get it over with and we'll be able to enjoy the rest of our afternoon. So what is you've hooked me up with what exactly?
You're on a 12-lead EKG monitor, so we can actually monitor your heart and heart rhythm. That's the most important.
Just prove that I have one, first off.
Sure, and just make sure that the bypass is still holding and still working. So,
yeah. So we want to do that, and as everybody knows that has listened to the show in the past, that I had open heart surgery, a one-way bypass about a year and a half ago. They replaced me with a monkey heart, but that's a whole thing. You don't even need to know that part. You know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't want to get me riled up and maybe start throwing poo and all kinds of crap. It's a mess. But he's just here as a technician to kind of hook me up. And then Dr. Doug's going to come in here and actually put me through the paces and do what exactly, Scott?
Well, we're going to start you off pretty slow on the treadmill here. We're going to speed you up about every 3 minutes, just kind of see what your capacity is, what your exercise tolerance is, and see if how your heart looks.
Right. Now, you're looking at me. I have no shirt on. I have all these leads hooked up to me. You look at me and say, gosh, the guy is like the epitome of health, right?
Yeah, of course.
Here's your 20. Okay, you're good to go. And so right now we're just doing like a resting heartbeat kind of thing.
Rate. Yeah, you're running around 80s there. I'm going to get a blood pressure from you here in just a second.
And then on cue, here comes Dr. Doug. Dr. Doug, come on up. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm like sitting up on a thing taller than everybody. Am I supposed to still be up here, or can I come down and join the rest of the crowd?
Come on down.
All right, so we're going to come down. He had to hook up all these leads and stuff and put me on a... Okay, we're going to do blood pressure. So this is the typical routine you have to go through before you get into this stress test thing, right, Dr.
Exactly.
Doug?
And trust me, though Scott doesn't look like he knows what he's doing, he's actually quite good at this.
Yeah, well, he's like me then, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we fake it till we make it. That works for me,
there
too.
118.76.
All right, is that good, or
that's
is that
good.
Just alive, or what?
76, so you want to be kind of 120 over 80 or lower, so that's a great blood pressure.
Okay, as long as I have one, I'm good to go. You know, I the bar is pretty low for me. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not really looking to achieve any kind of major goals other than survive this whole experience. Is that really what most people want to do?
Surviving this is very good.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Doug, isn't it true that the elderly should have a little bit higher systolic and diastolic, like maybe 130 over 90?
Wow. He sounds impressive when he says that.
He sounds
Bubble
impressive.
Boy.
Actually, older people, yourself not included,
of course,
tend to have slightly higher blood pressures, but we'd like to still keep it on the low side. So
okay, all right. Good. So do I have the blood pressure of a girl, or is it right in the middle?
You have a very good blood pressure.
Okay, because, yeah.
I'm talking about how much you look like a girl.
Well, I didn't say look, but literally back in the day, my primary care physician, he did my blood pressure once, and he said, hey, man, you got the blood pressure of a girl. And I'm like, okay. He goes, no, that's a good thing. You want to have that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, young women tend to have very low blood pressure, so that's very healthy.
And me.
And you.
Okay, but does that still apply now, or am I right back in the middle of
You're in very good shape from a blood pressure standpoint. We'll see how you look on the treadmill.
Okay, that's the real trick. Okay, so right now, Scott is like got me hooked up, and what are you doing exactly? Just taking a baseline?
Resting EKGs, did your blood pressure. Now we're ready for you to...
We're ready to go?
If you're ready.
All right, let's do this. I mean, this is like live... stress test type stuff. Come on over here, Bubble Boy. You may have to grab the microphone. I don't know. This is not typical where you do a radio show while you're doing a stress test. That's like double stress test, isn't it?
That's fairly uncommon.
Okay. All right. So should I let Bubble Boy hold the mic? And
that
he can...
would be a good idea. We'd like you to hold on to the bar here.
Okay. Hold on to the bar there. And then Bubble Boy's going to feel free to do any play-by-play there, buddy.
Okay, Greg.
All right. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to start fairly slow.
Start slow.
We'll start at about 1.7 miles per hour in a 10% grade.
Mm-hmm.
It then increases every 3 minutes. It'll go from 1.7 and a 10% grade to about 2.5 with a 12% grade, then goes to 3.4 with 14%, and then up to 4 with a 16% grade. If we get to 4, you're going to be huffing and puffing.
Okay. Well, you lost me at 3. So I guess just hit the start button. Let's see how this thing works and if I survive. That's really the key, right?
Tall, like Mom taught you there.
What's that? Say it again, Steve. What are we doing? Just walk?
Walk.
Okay, just walk. I'm walking. I'm walking live on Scuba Radio today for a stress test, and they're going to find out if I survive or start throwing my poo at people because of this monkey heart thing. Did you prepare for that, Dr. Doug, or no?
I wore disposable clothing in case you start doing that.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah, what do you think? Are you up for this next air bubble boy or what?
Oh, I don't know, Greg. I don't think I could handle that. They're going way too quick for me.
Yes. Well, this is the slow pace right now. We're just getting started. We're just walking. Very slow. We're going how fast again, Dr.
1.7 miles per hour.
All right. So,
good God.
Yes. It's like we're running a marathon right now. So, you know, trying to talk and walk at the same time, not typically what they do during a stress test, I'm guessing. Is that true?
That's true. We usually do talk to the patients, make sure they're feeling okay, but it's not usually an ongoing radio show with a microphone being passed back and forth.
Right. Okay. Well, that's where Bubble Boy's going to have to step up and do the play-by-play. Are you ready for this or what there, bud?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely ready, Greg.
I mean, when we get to the point where we start huffing and puffing, I can't talk.
I know. And I've been assured that this is completely safe, but if something happens, can I have your new truck?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
The keys are in my pocket, so...
That's all I need. That's all I need.
Fair enough. All right, so it's been already 6 minutes, right?
No, you've been on about a minute and a half.
Oh, damn. This is going to last forever.
So we have a standard protocol that we're using. So
yeah.
So it's called a Bruce protocol.
Bruce, where is he?
Dr. Bruce is dead, unfortunately.
Damn him.
But,
okay.
The idea is we start with the same. We use the same protocol for everybody, pretty much, so that anybody from young people to very elderly, frail people. So the first stage usually starts off pretty slow, like this.
Right.
You may actually even feel like you're kind of pushing the treadmill with your feet.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. At 2 minutes, which is in about 5 seconds, Scott's going to get a blood pressure on you.
Uh-huh.
And then at 3 minutes, it'll pick up to kind of more of a normal walking pace.
Got it. Okay. And as long as I don't fall over and pass out, I pass, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. So we're at what heartbeat right now?
96.
96.
We're shooting for a heart rate of about 141 beats a minute.
140? Oh, my God.
76.
Greg, this microphone's getting awfully heavy.
Is it? Yes, he's wore out just watching me work out. So, you know, I do walk fairly often, so this isn't that big of a deal. You know, talking and walking at the same time. Whew, I got to space my breaths. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, am I making you tired there, Bubble?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know, you look like you're doing pretty good.
Every diver should do this, right, Dr. Doug?
It's not a bad idea. Anybody that's going to start a new exercise program probably should consider having a stress test.
Yeah. Well, what is the recommended thing? Like to do this like once every 5 years or something, or what?
No real recommendation. If people have no known heart problems and they have some sort of exertional complaints.
There we go.
Uh-oh.
They just picked it up.
So, now we're at 2.5 miles per hour and a 12% grade. So, if people have exertional complaints, it's a good idea to get checked out with a treadmill like this.
Mm-hmm.
If they have had coronary disease like yourself, we do them routinely. They used to do things like this every year. Now we wait at least every few years, if not even longer, unless people have complaints. But if somebody has been a couch potato and wants to start some new activity, and I would even consider that to be scuba diving, if they're over the age of 40 or 45 and have not been active at all, it would not be a bad idea to get on a treadmill before doing that, just like I would tell them if they wanted to start jogging or something else.
Right. Well, Greg, I guess that means I'm next.
Yes, I think it is. Wait. Do we need a heart transplant, or what would he mean?
No, probably just a pig valve.
Okay. All right. So how do we know when I'm failing?
Okay. So you've now been on the treadmill.
Oh, wait. It's when the music starts.
So you've been on the
start for a break. That's what it means. Yeah. Well, will I survive? Stay tuned to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We'll find out. Whoa, boy, here we go.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top-down at Explorer Ventures liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hello, girls.
Hello.
You have the right station?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
He is a diver and a doctor, too. He's underwater in the ocean blue.
Yes, you did.
If he asks you for a sample of your pee,
don't hit this back off.
Don't you know you'll be in surgery?
Whoa, stop right there.
They call him
Dr. Doug.
They call him Dr. Doug.
Call him Dr. Doug.
He's moving up his stinking glove.
Call him Dr. Doug.
Hold on to your butt.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I have survived the stress test. After, I don't know, 3-4 minute cool down. Right. How am I doing, Dr. Doug?
Doing good. We got you. You went 12 and a half minutes on a Bruce protocol. A gentleman your age should be predicted to go about 9 or 10 minutes.
So that's like a Steve Austin, $6 million man type of level, or what?
I wouldn't go quite that far, but
come on, I would. You would, wouldn't you, Bubble Boy?
Yeah, but Dr. Doug, should he be sweating like a nun in a brothel?
Yeah. Well, that's just because you're here, Bubble Boy.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make him feel good.
And
you know
Scott
what I'm saying?
Is a very attractive man. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it'll do it to the best of us. All right. So, yeah, I survived it. I did a little higher than normal. If we get through, what'd you say, 9 minutes, you're okay?
We want you to get somewhere in that 9 to 12 minute kind of range, into what's called stage 4 of the Bruce protocol. So you got finished all of that and actually went into stage 5. We were hoping to get your heart rate up to about 141 to get an accurate test, and we got your heart rate all the way up to 165, so that was great.
And that's without any mermaid influence?
Correct.
Yes, it's purely, you know, working out, running almost, because I was jogging at the end.
Yeah, you're jogging. At 5 miles per hour is how fast we're going at the end with an 18% elevation, so that's jogging uphill pretty quick.
Yeah. So the typical stress to how a diver can react to that, you said, was like if you're swimming against a current for how long? How's this work?
Right. The idea of the reason this 13 met kind of thing came into play is if you do exercise physiology, if you can hit a certain maximum, you should be able to sustain half of that for about 20 to 30 minutes. And swimming against a 1 knot current or so is about 6.5 or half of that 13 METs. So that's kind of where this comes from.
All right, so I'm good for the Galapagos is what you're saying. That's all I got out of what you just said, all that techno jargon. I know the currents of the Galapagos are challenging, but I should be able to handle pretty much anything according to the test we just had.
Absolutely, yeah. This looks very, very good. We couldn't ask for anything better. Looks perfect.
Excellent. Well, you bubble boy, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
To actually get up on the treadmill?
No, I'm ready to go to the burger joint.
Okay, that's what I thought he was saying. So how often do divers come in and do a stress test like this usually have a problem? Do they usually pick it up far before, you know, they have a stress test, you think, or what?
Frequently, people in general will have symptoms which lead them to have a stress test. They may be classic symptoms like you were having with the heartburn kind of sounding stuff with exertion,
right.
Or they can be very atypical. But some sort of exertional symptom is what leads to most people to this. However, some people have no symptoms at all. That's what we call silent ischemia, so they have no warning system. And the way I tell it to people is if you're mowing the yard and your chest hurts, you stop mowing the yard. If you're mowing the yard and have the same problem but don't feel anything and keep mowing the yard, those are the people that keel over. So sometimes people get picked up asymptomatically because of an abnormal finding on an EKG or because they're having a surgery, so they get a preoperative stress test before the surgery, and we picked it up and they never had a warning system. Those people we worry about.
Right. Now, if you're a diver, though, and you're not having any of those type of symptoms, would you recommend, you know, like every 5 years, hey, when you're doing your yearly physical, talk to your doctor and say, hey, you know, it's been a while. I haven't had a stress test in like 5-10 years. Should I just do one to kind of mark it off the list? Would you recommend that, or do they only usually give you that option if you're having some kind of symptom?
Usually it's for symptoms. There are falsely abnormal stress tests, which can then lead to more tests and more cost and more potential complications. So if people are not exercise people, they're couch potatoes, and they're going to start diving and they're over the age of, say, 40, 45, it would not be unreasonable to get a stress test ahead of time just to make sure you're not missing something. If people are very active with no symptoms, then it's just a matter of kind of what their risk profile is. If they are not hypertensive, not diabetic, don't have high cholesterol, don't smoke, that person's very, very low risk for a problem if they have good exercise tolerance with no symptoms.
Got it. Now, for me, you know, what they had to do when I had my open heart surgery, just like my buddy Eric Douglas, who had a 5-way, I only had a 1-way. However, they did have to crack my chest open. And one of the symptoms I've told you even a year and a half later is I still have soreness where they cut the bone, and it feels kind of, I don't know, it's like it's almost like a brittleness. You know, you brought up something about arthritic type of things or something like that, but it's very common to have that kind of bone feeling where your nerves are coming back together and kind of playing mind tricks with you, you know, one time or another, and thinking like, gosh, do I have a problem? But it probably is just those nerves talking to each other and giving me fits, right?
Right. Actually, there's kind of two kind of aspects of that. The first aspect is once people have undergone stents or bypass surgery especially, they're going to be very hyper aware of anything between about the chin and the belly button. So they'll notice all kinds of symptoms for the first few months and tend to be, as they do better for a longer period of time, those symptoms tend to kind of go away. The second thing, like you're talking about, is where they go in through the sternum, you can get some kind of arthritis kind of type quality pain from where the bone was put back together. Or some people, even because you're cutting through the nerves in the skin, when they grow back, if they don't grow back quite the same way, some people get numbness where they don't feel anything. Some people get kind of a weird hypersensitive, like it's hard to have anything even touch the skin because it hurts. And some people can get some kind of arthritic kind of sounding pain.
Yeah.
So that sounds like what you're having. If people have that, it's always good to make sure on a stress test that it's not some problem with the bypasses or some new disease and it's simply a musculoskeletal problem. But it's always good to get it checked out.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm more hypersensitive in that area for sure. There's no question. And I will tell you, when the weather changes, I can feel it in my bones a little bit more around there. It's kind of weird. And I was like, gosh, am I going crazy? And I called up Dr. Doug. I told him, and he said, it's fairly common. So I feel much better now that we've got this over with and I survived. I mean, like I said, the bar was pretty low. As long as I got off that thing and didn't pass out, I was like, yes, two fins up. You hear what I'm saying?
The last time you took one of these, you ended up in the hospital with a bypass, right?
So I had one since, and she just approved me for a four-foot dive. So this one counts for a little bit more. Maybe we can do some rebreather diving.
Absolutely. Anytime. I haven't been rebreather diving since yesterday.
Well, okay. So you're jonesing for some more, obviously. You've been doing all this heart work. Have you been up on this thing a few times, I'm guessing, yourself?
Yep.
You just do it for fun and frolic when you got extra space. Let me hook me up. Let's go. Let's go for a round.
No, this is good. I tend to run through a Bruce protocol at the gym. I'll run myself through a regular Bruce protocol at the gym every once in a while.
Yeah. Do you recommend, like, for people working out, do that same type of thing? If you get up on a treadmill, do the 3-minute interval?
Nah. People staying active is the most important thing. So I tell patients to do something aerobic. You know, it can be walking, jogging, swimming, cross-country skiing. I tell people
diving.
Diving's not all that aerobic.
That doesn't count?
That doesn't count. Okay. I tell people either do the one of those you like the most or the one you hate the least, but just do something.
Right. Just get moving.
Right. The key is to be in shape. You get in shape to scuba dive. You don't scuba dive to get in shape.
See, a lot of people said there, well, we've been on the liveaboard all week, but we've been diving every day. But yeah, you've been eating like, you're on a cruise ship or something.
If you're getting a lot of aerobic exercise diving, you're doing it wrong.
Good point. You should be much more relaxed. You should be chilling out and not like, you know, half sweating, your nether regions off right now after a Bruce protocol stress test. But Dr. Doug, thank you for giving me the seal of approval to do some more diving. I can't wait.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Scott, for kind of working.
Yes. Scott, thank you, sir.
Hey, no problems. Glad to have you.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Whew, I need a drink. Maybe a cheeseburger, too.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, fresh from my stress test with Dr. Doug. He's on the phone now. We fast-forwarded to the present, I've had a few days to recover, so now I won't breathe as heavily as I did during that last segment. Dr. Doug, how are you, buddy? Are you there? What happened? I thought I heard him. Maybe I lost him. He's at the hospital. Dr. Doug, are you there? I don't hear you, Dr. Doug. Uh-oh. He's on call. He might have been called away. We'll find out what's going on. I also have Eric Douglas with me, connected via the web. Eric, how are you, buddy? You're there, aren't you?
I'm proud of you for that one, brother.
Yeah. Did you enjoy my performance?
I did. And you know what? I tell you what. That takes guts to be willing to do something like that on the air.
Well, it could have went one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? And I figured either way, it would be a valuable tool to share with the with our listeners today. So, you know, there you go. If I can do it, you can do it too. I didn't keel over. I did pretty good, according to Dr. Doug. And by the way, I think that's how he got called away. He's on call at the hospital. And I was going to have him on again with us live, but I think he just got whacked there. He's going to call me from. We'll get him on the next segment. He just texted me. There he is. I did pretty well for me. I'm better than I thought I would. I mean, how did you do with your test? I mean, you heard what happened there, Eric.
Yeah.
I mean, did you make it to 12 and then start jogging there for the last 30 seconds or no?
Yeah, I've been right there too, and it's a hump, but it you know what? It's an accomplishment too. And to be honest with you, I think my heart rate was right in the same range or so that you did. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, yeah, it was. The thing was, he says you don't have to go to 12 minutes, but if you go to 12, you're definitely going to be jogging. And I was like, all right, let's go for it. Let's push the limits. And I did it for about 30 seconds and survived it. But yeah, it got me huffing. But it made me feel good. I got it done, and now I think I'm good to go for some more diving. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about that and then some next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Are you ready to get your groove on?
Yes.
All right, then, let's get started.
This thing I love can't hold a candle to it. This thing I love, I must get down to it. I'm so ready, 'cause diving is the thing I love.
You sound really pretty.
There goes that lady.
And now you're out of control.
She likes scuba radio, but I think I'm going crazy.
What the hell is that?
'Cause the only time I see her is when I get my dive gear wet. Was that a mermaid?
So far, this is not blowing my skirt up, gentlemen.
You gotta stay cool, relax for a dip.
Shut up!
With tanks on our backs to beat the heat. 'Cause we like, come on. Greg the Dive Master on the mic, we're so ready.
Ready, Greggy.
'Cause diving is a thing we love.
Oh, that is so gnarly.
This thing,
I love,
it ties.
With sex, baby.
If you're doing it right, whale sings, shark dives. You might see cool looking jellyfish, I kinda like it. 'Cause diving is the thing I love.
I suspect.
Diving is the thing I love.
Yeah, you have some.
Diving is the thing I love.
Issues.
Diving is the thing I love. Yeah.
To work out.
Diving is the thing I love.
I like that song.
Well, that's comforting. And I believe we have connected with Dr. Doug now. Doug, are you there? Come in, Doug. No, I don't. What's going on? That is so weird. I hear him really faintly. What is going on? Let's see. Because I can hear him really softly. But I press a weird button there. I'm looking on my end in Reddell, and I don't see nothing. So something is not working there, Dr. Doug. I will tell you what. Let's see. Let me press this button. No. Hear you not.
Push the button, Greg.
I'm trying there, Barry the Boater. But something's going wiggy. Golly, that blows. Because I wanted to talk to Dr. Doug. Why isn't it working? Something's acting wiggy there, Doug. I'll tell you what. Let me try to call you at the next segment there, buddy. I apologize. We did some upgrades here at the studio over the week. And I wasn't fully recovered from my stress test, obviously. Because I probably plugged one cord into a hole that it wasn't supposed to go into. You hear what I'm saying there, Barry? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, he plugs a lot of holes in properly, you know, but he's a boater, you know, and he has to, or otherwise he's going to sink. So, yeah, we got Barry the Boater with us. We got Eric Douglas, the author extraordinaire. Even Walt DeMartini is connected with us at the Gomez Hilton today. Walt, come in. Talk to me.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Listen, they're putting a whole new interior in the boat today, and I've got the electrician out here, so if you hear a lot of background noise, just let me know, and I'll mute it out.
Well, you know what? It's not a problem. I'll be able to handle it because, you know, stress doesn't bother me. I mean, I just proved it on Scuba Radio today by having the stress test. Did you hear that? Have you had one of those? I would assume you've had your fair share of those over the years. Have you not, Walt? Or what?
No, I haven't. But when they did the X-ray, they said that my aorta was that of a 18-year-old.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The aorta is there by the heart, right? Yeah, that wasn't.
I think so.
Okay. You never know with Walt. He could. That could be what he calls it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. So Walt, you're working on your boat. You're not diving. You're feeling good though, and that kind of thing. But you've never had any heart issues over the years that kept you from diving. Just back stuff, which is what you're dealing with right now, right?
Exactly. Yeah, a little neuropathy, but a lot of other stuff, but no heart issues at all. I guess I've got a heart of steel.
You do. He has a big heart. I know that because Walt is very generous on many levels. When it comes to sharing his love of diving, to taking people diving on the first dry martini, and now he has a dry martini 2, which he's obviously having some work done on today. So, actually, you know, that kind of lays the groundwork for the next phase of my plan, which is to go diving. Now that I've passed my stress test and Dr. Doug said, hey, I did good, and that I performed fine to dive to my heart's content. Not that I really thought I was going to have an issue. I really didn't. But you know, I did have some, you know, question marks in my mind. Like I talked about that, like arthritic kind of thing that you have when you crack your chest open. When they do open heart surgery is evidently more common than I realized. And it was good to kind of, you know, go through that process and talk it out a little bit with him. And he's like, yeah, it's common. Yeah. And Eric Douglas is with us too. Now, Eric had a five-way bypass. And Eric, I mean, do you have any of those type of symptoms that I was talking about like that or no? When it comes to soreness and stuff like that from just the them cracking our ribs open. You know what I mean?
I kind of laughed when Doug said that it was that those kind of hyper-aware symptoms pass after the first couple months. Yeah, I'm still dealing with it 2 years out. But that's, but you know, when I touch my chest, when I touch the scar, it's still fit sensitive.
Yeah.
And whether that's sensitive in my head or whether that's in my chest, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you know, when they were hooking me up and the tech was chatting with me a little bit, he was asking me, like, have you had any problems? Tell me, you know, if you felt anywhere. And I told him about that, too. And I'm going, he says, well, get used to that. That doesn't really go away anytime soon. So I was like, all right, well, that makes me feel better. You know, at least I'm not alone.
In a strange way, it does. It makes you go, okay, that's not my heart. It's just. Just my sternum. It's just my rib cage.
You're just hypersensitive. You know, the nerves and stuff where they split you open and crack your chest open, they're kind of, you know, rebuilding. You know, they're reconnecting, and that sensation you get kind of plays mind games with you sometimes because it's always felt like the bones to me. But I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is my heart doing something weird there or what? You know, so it's kind of good to kind of talk that out with your physician share stories like this with fellow patients that have had similar operations. And then they can tell you like, yeah, don't worry about it. You'll be fine, kid. And that kind of thing. So and then I was reassured by the fact that I didn't keel over and pass out on this stress test. So.
Yeah, I remember the stress test that sent me to the hospital and. About 128 beats a minute.
Yeah,
I'm feeling serious chest pain, and they're looking at me like, "Shut this thing down now." You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I'm get on the treadmill and I'm kicking 160 beats a minute on my own, I don't feel that. It's like, oh, this is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, you know, I didn't even get to that point on my stress test where they caught you know the problem. I just started off, and about 3 minutes in, they said, if you feel any weird symptoms, you know, tell us. And so we got about 3 minutes in. I said, all right, well, you know, I'm starting to feel my stomach churn up because that was my symptom, like a heartburn kind of thing. And it's like, it's not like full on or nothing. Or I said, but I can tell it's starting to stir. And then they go, you mean now? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm not huffing or puffing or nothing. I'm not even really thinking about it. I just, you know, mention it to him, right? And then I all see him just like zone in on the monitor screen. I'm like, oh crap! Yep. Oh, you gotta be kidding me!
It's all Eric's fault. He cursed me.
Yeah, I did, because the day before I called Eric. Hey, I'm going in for a stress test. I'm going to join your little club. Watch. And then I did. So what are you going to do? But I only had a one way. I only had a one-way bypass. Eric had five, so he has me beat in that department.
Yeah, you've got four more to catch up.
I got four more to go. So, or extra lives? I don't know what it is. But let's hope neither one of us have to go through any of that nonsense again.
Amen to that. For the record?
Yeah. For the record,
Monday is my two-year rebirth day.
Aha. Very nice. Well, congratulations a few days early. And, you know, if anything,
tomorrow I'm running in a 5K race.
Look at that. See, and if anyone listening right now, if you ever have to encounter this kind of thing, that's been the whole blessing from this whole experience for me. And I think I probably speak for Eric, too, is that we've had so many people come up to us at dive shows and say, oh, man, I heard your story about your open heart surgery. Oh, man, it's so great. You're doing well and you're back and you're diving and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, look, if I can do it, you can do it, too. I didn't really want to take that road, but if it has, you know, sometimes you deal with these life things, and if other people can benefit from your story, then so be it.
Absolutely.
And that just kind of makes things a little bit better. But now we can focus on diving. And, you know, Walt doesn't have the dry martini anymore, but he has the dry martini too. And what I was saying is, like, now I got through that stuff, we can start focusing on diving. And one of those trips would potentially be on the Dry Martini 2 and cruising over to the Bahamas. Now, Walt, what do you think? How close are you to getting back in the boat and being able to pull off something like that, you think? Is that happening anytime soon, or is it too early to say? Captain Walt DeMartini. Uh-oh, I think he's distracted. They're telling me. Yeah, he's talking to the tech guy on his boat right now. I'm not doing very good on my timing today, gang. You hear what I'm saying? What's
Absolutely.
Up with that? Yeah, well, Barry, what do you think? Barry, the boater, you got a boat? We could take your boat over to Bimini. Yeah?
I could if it was flat enough.
Well, just got to pick
We're doing the interior of his boat, and they were using a nail gun, so hopefully none of the nails went through the hull.
Well, or his, body or anywhere else for that matter.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Bula Vinaka, I'm Maggie Khan of Matava Eco Resort, Nadeva Kandavu, south of the Pacific Islands in Fiji. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to scuba diving. And now here's a guy, I got liquored up enough to put on a grass skirt. Greg the Dive Master.
Greg, you wicked girl.
I am not a girl. I just wore a skirt in Fiji. That's all. They call it a Sulu, so it's acceptable. All right, so we have finally connected with Dr. Doug over in Lakeland. He's on call, and he's with us on the plain old telephone. I think I did plug something in wrong when I did some upgrades this week, Doug, so I apologize. But welcome. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Can you hear me this time?
I hear you now. Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, we got it working. We went low-tech and made it happen. But
thank you for not wearing a grass skirt for the treadmill. I appreciate you not doing that.
Well, I should have wore something, but, I figured I didn't want anything holding me back. That was one of my secrets to my success, is being able to perform as well as I did, being unencumbered by clothing. So
that was quite the experience for everyone.
Yes. Everybody in the office seemed to enjoy it. I mean, I heard a lot of snickering. So I'm going to take that as a compliment. That's the only way I know how to take stuff like that. But a very uncommon kind of thing to happen in your neck of the woods when it comes to, you know, working with heart patients and stuff, I guess. You know, trying to do a radio show at the same time. Am I correct in thinking such nonsense or what?
Yeah, a little bit. We had a great time. Everyone had a good time. Everyone, I think, did a real good job for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, if nothing else, hopefully people listening get an idea. It's not that scary. Just go do it. Have some fun with it. And, you know, that's what you guys are there for. And hopefully you won't have any issues. And but it is something that, as we said, you don't necessarily need to do this unless you're having a problem, right?
Right. Again, I'm sorry I missed the first part of the show. I was in the cath lab. But I just had to work.
Yeah.
But like we talked about during the stress test, the times to actually have one done is if you're having some sort of symptom that's concerning, and that could be anything, chest, neck, jaw, kind of discomfort, especially with activity, or if somebody who's never been very active wants to start an exercise program of any sort, and you could consider scuba diving in that realm as well. If somebody's been very inactive and they're over the age of, say, 40 or 45, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have one ahead of time. But we don't just do them routinely, usually. You know, there used to be a time frame where people, after having stents or having bypass surgery, would get treadmilled every year. We found that doesn't really help. It doesn't really give much information, just adds a lot of cost. So we don't do that anymore, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah. If you're having a problem, then they, you know, call for the test and that kind of thing. So it makes sense. But if you're not having any issues, don't worry about it. But if you do, you know, it's not that scary. It's pretty easy process and fairly quick, too. I was surprised. We were in and out of there, even with all the extra crap of recording a radio show. They got us in and got us out. It was no problem whatsoever. So now we can focus on diving, right, Dr. Doug?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to get over this whole work thing. You got too many patients keeping you up at night and stuff like that that keep you from jumping in the water, because you've told me before this is what you do to fund your diving activities, correct?
Exactly. Something's got to pay the bills.
Something. And I imagine, you know, they do quite well at paying those bills. I mean, he has quite an operation over there in Lakeland. But we got to either do some rebreather diving or take you on one of these liveaboard trips. I did talk to my friends at Explore Ventures, and it looks like we got something coming down the pike, possibly as early as March, to hop over to Saba or something. How might that sound to you?
That'd be great if I can make it work.
Yeah.
I got to figure out what the time frame is to get it worked out. But that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the trick with Dr. Doug, he has to make sure all his patients don't have any heart issues so he can leave the country for a week. And that's a bit of a challenge, I'm guessing. Am I right in assuming such?
Yeah, actually, the main problem at the moment is we've lost a couple of the interventional guys like myself who do all the procedures. So there's really only two of us in the group right now that do that. So
yeah.
We're kind of on call every other night, every other weekend, until we get some replacements here.
Yeah.
So if I leave for a week, that means my partner's on call for a week.
Mm.
So I got to run that by him, obviously.
Right. So you're doing these little quick runs over to the Springs right now and doing your KISS rebreather and stuff like that. That's what I see you posting up on Facebook now and then. Am I right?
Yeah. So what I'm having to do is, because of the not having much time otherwise, is right now I'm on call every other weekend. So the weekends I'm not on call. If I've got some classes set up, I'll kind of run to the Springs and teach the rebreathers. Or last weekend we were doing some taught cavern diving. It's just people, so we had them kind of running reels and practicing lights out drills and kind of giving them a respect for the cavern environment.
Yeah. Now, you don't consider yourself a warm water wuss, though. I mean, you're diving the caverns just because you like it right now. But to me, this is the time to be diving the Springs because, you know, you got that 72 water temp versus the ocean, which is potentially much cooler. But you would rather be in the ocean, or does it matter to you?
Oh, I much prefer warm water and pretty fish.
Yeah, okay.
But for the Springs right now are good. For skills and training people and stuff, I think it's a nice environment for a very controlled environment for people. And I always dive in my dry suit, so the temperature doesn't really bother me too much.
You just hop in the dry suit and go out to the ocean, it wouldn't really matter, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah, either way. But, I mean, right now in the Springs, I always dive the Springs in a dry suit, so I'm kind of like Pete. You know, if you're going to be in the water for a couple hours, why not be warm? If you have the dry suit, you might as well use it, kind of thing.
Yes. Well, yeah, Pete just got back from, let's see, Bonaire, I believe. And he's supposed to join us today. So hopefully we'll touch base with him at some point, because he had quite an adventure last week in Bonaire. Well, Dr. Doug, I will let you get back to it, saving lives, spending your time more, better than wasting it with us. But we do appreciate you taking the time to do this on Scuba Radio today. It's much appreciated. And I think a few people picked up a few things, okay?
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad you did so well on the treadmill. Congratulations on that. Got to get some time to walk together.
That's right. Let's go diving. That's what it's all about. And hour two is on deck. We're going to check in with our friends from Curacao. They have some big news about you potentially picking up a cool trip to that beautiful area of the world. Plus, Texas Dive Show. That's all in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.